Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN. Your home for K-State Athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Jerome Tang was 100% correct when he said, roughly said, you can turn it over a bunch and still win a basketball game.
Holy mother of...
K-State had those opportunities for sure, but if I can give you a non-K-State case in point, the Sweet 16 for women's basketball kicked off this afternoon in Albany, New York, featuring Oregon State and Notre Dame. I'll give you the final score first. Oregon State with the upset over Notre Dame, 70-65, so keep that in mind. Oregon State won the game by 5. Notre Dame only turned the ball over 5 times.
Wow.
Oregon State, who won the game, turned it over 26 times.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And they won by 5.
Now, what was the shooting percentage?
Oregon State shot 60.5, Notre Dame 35.5.
Ooh. That'll do it.
Well, and I mean, Oregon State also hit just 3 more field goals, and the Irish took 25 more shots. Then, I mean, the box score is so lopsided, all over the place.
Yeah,
and in favor of different teams, you know, like even though Oregon, you know, obviously because Notre Dame didn't turn over very much, they had a lot more opportunities to shoot the basketball, but. The lopsided turnovers, meanwhile, Oregon State still shooting the ball way better, was just slightly the difference.
Wow. Love that.
I just mind-boggling numbers. Especially in the Sweet 16. You figured a good team like Notre Dame would have taken much better advantage of all those turnovers. I didn't really watch any Notre Dame basketball this year, but in Oregon State, I mean, that's a program that could sell out at an arena once in a while. You know? They bring in the people. Welcome to The Game. It is a Friday edition. We take it to 5:30. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, David G., and Owen Burke. As at 5:30, we will start network coverage pregame of K-State baseball, who opened up the series yesterday against Texas, winning 14-6. And now they're looking for the series victory with first pitch at exactly 6:05. And it is also the whiteout game. So if you're going to the baseball game, wear white.
Sick.
Which reminds myself I need to run home before I go to the game.
Yeah, don't
I'm not
be
wearing
that,
white.
Don't be that guy, Mitch. Don't be the guy that shows up in purple today.
I don't like wearing white.
I don't either, truthfully.
I'm a dark color clothes person.
Yeah, I don't look good in white usually.
Like, I'm wearing gray jeans and a dark blue. Was this like even
purple,
darker than navy?
Is it a little purple?
Yeah.
I got navy purple, yeah. I got my favorite green shirt on today, so.
Yeah, representing.
So I got to run home and see if I can find some white. I think I have a white Big 12 polo. Did you guys catch any of the Batcats last night?
Little bit.
We'll tackle that here in just a second. We'll blindly rank 5 coming up at about 4:30. At 4:40, I don't know if you've heard the news, but K-State Men's Hoops has a recruit in town.
Ooh.
Currently visiting, and we'll go over the details of that recruit coming up here at about 4:40. Real quick, want to give a shout out to Terry. Terry is our cleaning lady here at the radio station. She has been here longer than I've been here at the radio station. See her, you know, at least once a week. Works hard. She's having surgery. She's having a pretty major procedure here coming up soon. So I just want to wish her and her family the best.
Absolutely.
As it's a bit of a difficult time right now. So we're just, Terry, we're thinking about you.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite people to see here around the radio station. Always a very positive person. Mm-hmm. So want to wish her and her family nothing but the best. Go ahead.
Yeah, it makes me not so lonely on those late Friday nights. I'm glad to have her around. Hopefully everything goes well.
She always comes and she's on a mission.
Yeah.
She
works hard. She's got a game face.
In and out. Yeah. She was like, I'm here to get this done and go home.
But it looks great. You know, it's not one of those like
flawless.
In and out where you're like, hey,
flawless.
Did someone stop by or what? No, she's killing it. And when she walks in and you surprise her, is the best.
You guys ever watch that show? It's called Below Deck.
Yes.
It's on Bravo.
I've seen enough of it, yeah.
Well, and I got hooked. It's just, I just somehow like the show. It's pretty interesting to me. I just like to see how the whole thing works, working on the mega yachts and either working on the outside of the boat or inside as stewardess. And
coming soon.
I'm gonna quit Manhattan Broadcast. I'm gonna go start working on yachts in the Caribbean or Thailand or something.
Just wait until he's assigned to a Maersk shipping vessel.
KMAN Below the Deck.
Yeah.
Whoa! Now we're talking.
But they're like always having problems with their chief stewardess. I'm like, I know some people that would kill it, would just crush. Another thing, shout to Cam Carter. Cam Carter, what was it, last week, 2 weeks ago? I can't remember when exactly. Well, it would have been last week.
Literally.
Portal opening. Entered the transfer portal, and it came out today. Cam Carter has committed to LSU. He grew up 30, 35 miles south of Baton Rouge in Donaldsonville, Louisiana, so he's going home. And I said earlier this week, I think this is just a really solid opportunity for both parties, both K-State and Cam Carter, that he has decided to move on, so he'll be so much closer to home. I bet those NIL bucks are going to look pretty good as well. And wish him nothing but the best. He is an amazing guy. He came in during basketball season to record a commercial, and fun guy to be around. He good listener. He's coachable, obviously, just by learning from that experience. But what is interesting is LSU is scheduled to come to Manhattan this next season. So that's pretty interesting.
Let's go.
You got that. Outside of K-State, you're going to have a Will Howard versus Kobe Savage when Ohio State locks up with Oregon this upcoming football season.
Oh, yeah.
So you actually see two Cats, former Cats, on the field at the same time against each other. So.
Yeah. Hey, and we got a bit of a scoop from DY yesterday on LSU and Cam Carter. That was awesome.
Two days ago.
He called it, man. He called it like a bank shot. He goes, LSU. That's nice, dude.
Yeah, good for I'm happy for him. If he's happy, I'm happy.
Absolutely.
Let's get to the Bat-Cats. I'm especially happy about K-State baseball right now because, again, they blew the doors in the second inning off of Texas, and they win by 8. But it was an 8-run bottom of the second inning for K-State. After K-State, of course, spots their opponent a few runs, 3 to be exact, and they are down 3-0, and here come the Cats. And they take a commanding lead. They're able to hold on to it for the whole contest. The big number right now, guys, is 10. K-State baseball has won 10 in a row, and I know that is at least the second longest winning streak in the nation. I don't know if it's the longest now, but I know Lamar lost recently, so it's at least the second longest winning streak in the entire nation. K-State now 6-1 in the Big 12 is off to their best start in conference play since the year I was born, 1990.
Ooh, that's going back a ways.
Nick English was the hot bat, and I got to start with old Nick, the true freshman from the Kansas City area. He had two doubles in the second inning. He led off the inning, and he had a bases loaded and clearing double to really make a commanding lead for K-State in that second inning. And I got to play this. Nick English had the line of the night.
I think it shows that we're here and we're here to stay. Like, we don't care who's on the chest or what name's on the chest of the other opponent. We're going to kick the out of you.
Woo!
He made a statement, guys.
He did.
You know, I think this was his first time talking to the media at Toyton Family Stadium. I was there, and I cut it out, but he like immediately apologized. Sorry about that. I joked around a little bit, but I was like, no, that was a really good line. I appreciate it.
He went Gabby Gregory on it.
Oh, yeah, Gabby, yeah. Last year, pulled an S-bomb against Iowa.
Can confirm the Batcats currently the longest winning streak in college baseball at 10. The only other team close, Louisiana, is at 9, and there's a couple teams sprinkled at 8. So it is the longest win streak in college baseball.
Right on.
There you go. I mean, it's the longest win streak in 10 years. It's the longest winning streak in the Pete Hughes era, and it keeps K-State atop of the Big 12 by one game right now. Texas is now 2 games back. Obviously, when you see 14 runs scored, you gravitate to the offense immediately, and that's where I want to start because – I'm looking not just last night. This is a 10-game winning streak. Obviously, things are going a lot better than the beginning of the year when they started 2-2. Pitching was a bit rough. We learned that Tyson Abers and Ty Rule were both hurt. Tyson tried to pitch hurt. It wasn't his best stuff, although I would say I didn't think he was too bad. But pitching was shaky. It just wasn't consistent. I think that's what was missing from K-State's pitching is just consistency, plus being ahead of counts early, finding momentum, getting into a groove. It took a while for all those things to kind of settle in, and I think that's starting to settle in. But over 10 games for the K-State offense, hitting .341 as a team, and they have 9 players over the last 10 games hitting .300 or better.
Ooh.
And this is a team right now over the last 10 games averaging 13 hits a game. Brady Day is... maybe I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I would have to say he's got to be one of the top candidates for Big 12 Player of the Year right now. I know we're early, but he is establishing that pretty early this season. And Brady Day over the last 10 games is hitting .477, 21 hits and 15 RBI. And guys, right now in Big 12 play, Brady Day is the best hitter.
Wow. Yep.
In the Big 12.
Not a doubt in my mind about it.
And right now, what K-State's doing is, right now, K-State offense is second in the Big 12. Just about, well, almost every statistic that you think of positively for the offense, K-State's just a step behind. But they're not too far away from Texas Tech. K-State has done a phenomenal job of getting on base. Their on-base percentage in these last 10 games is .440. Troy, for those that may not know how to properly react to a .440 on-base percentage, how do you react to that?
That's eye-popping. Yeah, that's stellar right now. That is a tremendous number that he is racking up.
Yeah, not striking out, getting on base, walking. The walks have always been killer. The 2 years that I've worked here and worked the games, the team just walks a ton.
Yeah, and that's one of the key aspects of a Pete Hughes coach team, in that he really has worked on that. He wants his guys to be able to draw walks, be patient, and yet they're good at the plate, so good at the plate that they don't strike out much. It's get walks and make contact. And right now it's working tremendously for Brady Day.
And, I mean, Nick English, his line, you know, beating the blank out of people, that's what they're doing right now. The offense has been a huge part of that. Nick English, who's right in the middle of the lineup, as a true freshman, has to be one of the best true freshmen in baseball right now. Has to be. I don't have the numbers to back that up. But if I look at the last 10 games and see that Nick English is hitting .366, he has 15 hits, he has 13 RBI in those last 10 games, getting on base, he's got to be up there. I mean, right away has made a major impact. I appreciated that because it's not wrong. Texas isn't like – they're all right this year. They're 15-11. They came into the series with K-State as like the two best teams at the plate this year in Big 12 play, and K-State smoked them last night.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that as well, you got to give credit to Josh Wintrobe on the mound. Boy, he had an outing, I think it was against Holy Cross, if I remember correctly, that was just, okay, we saw that. That's a nice spark. K-State was needing a nice spark from starting pitching and off and out of the bullpen. He was coming out of the bullpen in that particular outing. And I was like, that could be a weekend guy. He just kind of had a groove to him. I was like, okay, this might be a week. And now he's the Friday guy. And that's pretty big. K-State's pitching wasn't exactly solid at the beginning of the year. The numbers are getting better. Now, looking at the last 10 games again, K-State pitching is at a 4.94 ERA. That's not domination by any means. But at the college level, that's not too damn bad.
Mm-hmm.
You can live on that. You can win games on that. Could be a little bit better. And if you look at the Big 12 numbers, they're still going to be like 10th in the Big 12 and ERA. But the thing is, they're doing a lot better with strikeouts. The strikeout-to-walk ratio is a lot better than it was at the beginning of the year. You know, with the first, let's say, you know, the first 15 games compared to these last 10. It is a lot better. It's getting a lot better. And perfect timing, guys, Tyson Abers is back. And what's so key about the rest of this series, you got two left against Texas. You're looking for a series win tonight. That's already big. Your heavy hitters out of the bullpen are intact. Tyson Abers hasn't pitched. Jackson Wentworth hasn't pitched. Jackson Wentworth, right now, is one of the best relievers in the entire nation.
Nails.
He's been an absolute machine. And it hasn't been just this 10-game winning streak. Let's see. I got the numbers right here. In this 10-game winning streak, Jackson Wentworth has appeared five times. So he's been a pretty big part of that. He's actually pitched the most innings over these last 10 games. And his ERA is 2.51. Well, his season for the ERA is under 2. So it goes even beyond this last 10 games. Jackson Wentworth has been a major spark, and he was a part of that that combined no-hitter with Jacob Frost, who's going to start tonight. So I think I said 2 weeks ago that the talent's there. We're starting to see it show off.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing a lot better baseball. And by the way, going back to the offense, the on-base percentage of the last 10 games is 440. I mean, for the season, it's 434. So it's just barely above average. So that's been a pretty consistent part of K-State's game. The walks thing, being more patient, that does go back to last year. It was way better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more walks. The strikeout numbers didn't get crazy, too crazy either. They were still, I believe, one of the best teams in the Big 12 of not striking out, even though they were walking a lot more. And by the way, when they get on the base, they're still aggressive. 10th in the nation in 2.5 stolen bases a game. So,
jeez.
I'm feeling pretty good about the Bat-Cats right now. I hope we didn't jump to conclusions when K-State just kind of was, not a whole lot of positives when they went out to Tennessee and Clemson. Just kind of got the butts kicked a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
A few positives, but you look at the final score, look at the final numbers, it's like, not the greatest work. After that, it's been a lot better.
Well, and you've also got to remember, A, those guys are able to practice outdoors a lot more than what K-State baseball is able to do so because of the weather. Let's just look at that from one point. Secondarily, this being a team that is still figuring out pieces at that point that trip takes place. So early in the season, you're getting a feel for what is Nick English going to be, as an example. And you go in unable to have your full rotation, as we've talked about. And so, you know, it's bad timing to have to play those two games as early on the schedule as what they did. But it's also a good lesson for a team. Hey, this is what you're going to be facing as this year goes on. And you gain a measure of confidence from it. And I think that they did. They figured out, okay, we can still be a part of these games. We're all right. But take away what you can, who played best, who needed the extra work, and let's figure it out from there.
Just to tack in, I've been scrolling through just individual statistics on all these guys, and by just about almost every measure outside of home runs, Brady Day's a top 40, top 50 player batter in the country right now. Also, Nick English is tied for fifth in the nation with doubles this year.
Nice.
I think 13 is what I read.
He had two in the second inning yesterday.
Yeah. Jeez. So these guys, I agree with what Troy said. I feel like they've come back from that road trip re-energized, and they've just And they've handled some injuries. I mean, KC missed a couple games, like you said, with Rule and Neighbors being out. And they've taken all three of those in stride and continued to win.
And I love the crowd last night really fed off that second inning. It wasn't the most packed Toynton Family Stadium. I want to say half full yesterday. And they were really into it. That was a really fun environment.
Tonight's going to be a blast.
Bouncing off of that, that was my next point. It's like, tonight could be really fun, especially if K-State gets after them early. What I want to say is, like, now is absolutely the time to invest in K-State baseball. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been to a game yet, this is a really good weekend to get out to the ballpark. This is the last time Texas comes to town, guys. Maybe forever.
Yeah,
you never know.
Possibly. You never know.
You never know. This is the last opportunity to watch Texas in Manhattan, Kansas. So there were plenty of horns down yesterday. That was a lot of fun.
That's a chance, folks.
This is going to be a really fun environment. But invest in K-State baseball now, because they're taking off. And they're playing postseason caliber type of baseball like we projected at the beginning of the year before the season started. It's now taken off.
There's no good way of putting it, but sun's out, horns down.
100%. Sun's down, horns down. This is your last chance to go to Toynton and throw the horns down at the Longhorns. Yeah. Get out there today or tomorrow.
All right, let's take a timeout. Let's continue on with K-State baseball when we come back as we play blindly ranked 5 after these words.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Owen's going to give us a little pro wrestling history. He has gone with Hulk Hogan's Real American.
Yeah, anybody
recorded
have
by
any,
Rick Derringer.
Yeah, anybody have any guesses of this day in wrestling history? What could be tied to this music?
Well, I'm going to guess Hulk Hogan.
That would be a solid start.
Would it be WrestleMania 3?
It would be Andre the Giant.
It would be the body slam heard around the world.
Yuck.
WrestleMania 3. Hulk Hogan defeated Andre the Giant to retain the WWF Championship all the way back in 1987.
And that was, like, today in 87?
That is today in 87, March 29th. I'm going to try to do this day in wrestling history, but, you know, sometimes there's nothing interesting.
Yeah.
So I might double back to the week, but we had a good one today.
Somebody sent me a DM on Twitter that works at K-State, and in one of the offices they have an old poster advertisement of a WCW show at Bramlage.
Ooh.
And it's autographed by a bunch of people. If you're listening and you know where that is and you know who has it, I want that poster.
You steal that.
So let
you
me know.
Steal it.
Let me know what that costs. And I didn't see like Sting's autograph on there. I didn't see Stone Cold because Stone Cold was also there. Wasn't Stone Cold yet, but he was there. I didn't see those autographs. So it's not the most expensive item
You see that. And I don't care what it takes, and I don't care what kind of trouble you get in. You steal that from Mitch right now.
Or, you know, just let me know how much it is,
steal
and I can Venmo somebody.
Take it off the wall.
Mitch trying to dig himself out of the hole.
You cover it up with a sheet of something, some kind, and you get it out of the building. And you run into somebody like Coach Tang, you're like, hey, how you doing? Just keep on walking. You know, you don't want to answer any questions.
Just that's like go. You're supposed to be there.
Hey, Coach! I'm not stealing, so, and just get out of town.
I'm not stealing,
so, okay.
Oh, let's play a new game of Blindly Ranked 5. DG is once again in the hot seat. We will blindly rank 5 a particular category. I'll give him things one at a time to rank, but he doesn't know what's coming next. Hmm. He'll rank one at a time. DG, we're sticking with the K-State baseball theme. Had this planned for a while. I'm glad we get to do it now that the Cats are red hot. K-State baseball walk-up / warm-up songs that are used by the Batcats this year. So there's going to be some sound.
All right.
So what I mean by warm-up songs, that's when, like, the pitchers come into the game. They get a few minutes to warm up. K-State will play a particular song for them to warm up to. So you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's start with pitcher Adam Arthur, who did appear last night. His warm-up song is...
Ooh.
cult of personality, Living Color.
Man, a K-Rock staple. Oh, you mean CM Punk's music?
Yeah. I was waiting for it.
It's a great song.
Well, and I gotta admit, I mean, this is also a great entrance theme.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Punk has been using it. I mean, he just returned to wrestling a few years ago, but started in 11 or 10, 10 or 11.
Yeah, it was 10 or 11. I do love this entrance theme. I do personally love, was it Burning Lights, the first one he used?
Oh, Kill Switch Engage?
Yeah, it was Kill Switch Engage, yeah. I do kind of prefer that one, I will say.
This Fire Burns.
That's what it is. Thank you.
What do you think? Where are you putting Cult of Personality?
That's a
for
solid,
Adam Arthur.
It's a solid three.
Ooh,
it's
a solid that's a three. Strong open.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I think you may regret putting that in the middle.
Oh, boy.
We'll see.
All right, Adam Arthur's Cult of Personality warm-up song is number three for Deej. Let's go to our second song. Jaden Loebliner, who was not in the lineup yesterday, but does have a pretty a solid banger for any's when he comes to the plate, his walk-up song.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I.
Guess who's back? Every time. Never gets old. Still D.R.E.
Yeah.
By Dr. Dre featuring Snoop Dogg from the 2001 album.
I think you may have been right to find him.
Man.
Put the first one at three.
When this hit, it was like Atom Bomb. This song, so good.
Did you just say Atom Bomb?
Uh-huh. So good.
Do you remember the wrestler Atom Bomb?
I do, yeah.
I don't know if Owen would remember him, but
I don't know if I remember him. I've heard of him.
Such a good album. You ain't up on things.
Fantastic album.
Really very, very, very nice.
We're still D.R.E. go.
Oh, okay, so there's three songs left, and I have to keep that in mind. That's going at number two. Hmm. Still D.R.E. going at number two because I know there's one in coming that's just a who banger.
Adam Arthur's Cult of Personality at three. Jaden Loebliner's still D.R.E. number two. How does Troy feel about this list so far? Would you have done something different?
Blum, 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 blum. I happen to be big on Cult of Personality by Living Color because that one was a bomb when I was in high school. So
it's still a great track. I just, to be honest, personally, I just hear it so much. Being a K-Rock, I hear Morning Joe Hose, I hear it so much.
All right, our next song will be Owen Borma, starting pitcher, Sunday. His warm-up song to begin a game.
No way.
Immigrant Song, Led Zeppelin. Everybody.
I love in School of Rock when he starts singing into her and she's like, please stop.
I'll interject here. This is one of the few days I'm very glad I'm not the contestant here because I would have flubbed this thing up so bad.
This is tough. This is like a burned CD from high school, you know? Like, jeez, these are all great. I mean,
only sleep and trusting my.
Who was the? You talking about the scene with the principal?
Yeah.
What? Who was that? I'm trying to.
Joan Cusack.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yep.
She was so funny, man. Your children, we don't know where they're at. They're all gone. Led Zeppelin goes number one. Give me a break. Come on, man. Come on.
All right. Number one has been taken by Immigrant Song. This for Owen Borma. Number two for Deej is still D.R.E. for Jaden Loebliner. Number three is Adam Arthur's warm-up to Cult of Personality. I'm not going to admit, the last two we get a little bit different.
Hmm.
Blue we'll see what you think. I mean, obviously it's going to be four and five, but we'll see if you would want to change anything. Our next song is Mason Schwabach. Typically comes off the bench, a pinch hitter type of situation. I personally really like this one.
It's the Thugger Schwabach.
Thuggish, rushish, I can't even say it.
Thuggish, ruggish, bone.
Bone Thugs in Harmony. I love the rapping when we get into it.
Yeah.
You're feeling a strip for the rump, step bump. Hit a bump, get a jump, get the dust, it's filled to
of really great memories listening to Bone Thugs and Harmony, but even before the Crossroads dominated. I believe this is off Thuggish Ruggish Bone, the album. This is a hip hop classic, dude. Oh my god. Just by.
It's 4 or 5.
4. It's a great song.
So it only leaves us at number 5. I love that. It's. I wish they would bring him in more. Just so we could hear it.
A kid, what year was he born? In 2012, and he likes that song? That's amazing.
It is cool.
That's great.
I just want to say, I skipped all like the country walk. Yeah, I can't do it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. And no offense to those guys. You know, I mean, well, and I kind of gave Nick English a hard time yesterday. His walk up is "Hey Ya" by Outkast.
Ooh.
And I asked him, I was like, "How'd you come up?" He was like, "I have no idea."
Just a great song.
Roommate thought it was cool. So I was like, "All right, good whatever." Song.
There are some of the country ones that are good. Like I've heard some country ones that are like, they're like it's the 6'5" country boy that's going up. You're like, this is going 450.
All right, our last one will be Tyson Neighbors. He has actually not used this yet because he's not pitched at Toyton Family Stadium yet this year. I feel like it's going to be coming up, obviously, this weekend. His is definitely different.
Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you got to do.
All right, so Wonderwall, right?
Good Lord.
It's not just Wonderwall.
About you now. Because maybe.
Oh, yeah. Curveball.
Because maybe.
This is a real remix.
They seriously made Wonderwall worse.
Wonderwall Tremor Remix by Soap Music.
I like it. It's cool. I like it. I try to stay open-minded about different music. And right now, this is like kids like this stuff. And it's pretty good. The older I get, the more I appreciate Oasis. Because at the time, I was like, that sucks. And never, I didn't want to hear it. Like, Wonderwall was, like, stupid. And then, what's that? Don't look back in anger. I heard you sigh. You know, I was like, oh, shut up. But now I'm kind of like, yeah, that's not so bad. But that's a perfect number 5. That's a good 5.
Solid. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it over any of those others, but it was a solid, you know, finish to the gimmick here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be pure Wonderwall, and I'm like, I have not. I like the song. I do.
Sure.
I'm like, I don't know if this is my closer's music. Like, I'm not intimidated. This guy coming out of the pen until he throws me the fastball. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, very nice.
Immigrant Song 1, still DRE 2, Cult of Personality 3, Bone Thugs and Harmony 4, and a little Wonderwall remix at 5. I gotta agree. I think you nailed it.
I agree.
Let's take a timeout, a quick break. When we come back, there is a recruit in town, and all the boys here in the studio impressed by his highlight reel.
Popped.
We're talking K-State hoops after the timeout. Well, since the season came to an end last week at Iowa City, losing to the Iowa Hawkeyes in the first round of the NIT, I mean, even before that, as soon as their Big 12 tournament run came to an end, attacking in recruiting, getting after it right away. And I mean, as of right now, when it comes to the coaching carousel, we're still intact. You never know if something might happen, but so far so good. And we have a recruit in town, Terrace Reed Jr. If you're not familiar with this guy, played Big Ten basketball the last couple of years, back up to Hunter Dickinson a year ago. He is a 6'10", 4, 265 pounds with 2 years of eligibility remaining out of St. Louis, Missouri. Before heading to Michigan, there's already a K-State tie, which is very helpful. You might remember Rodney Perry for K-State.
Mm-hmm.
Used to coach at Link Academy in Branson. Well, Terrace Reed used to go to Link Academy and play under Rodney Perry. So there's already a strong connection there. You guys, a couple of breaks ago, was watching some of the highlight film. There's a number of things I do like. Now, his numbers from this past season, 9.7 rebounds a game. The shooting numbers could definitely be better. That's probably where work needs to be done if he does decide to become a Cat, 52%. But 9.7 rebounds a game, also add on a couple of blocks per contest. I love his footwork. Love it. He has agility. He has great – I think my favorite play from his highlight tape was trying to post up and wasn't winning that battle, so he was going to come out. He had to get out of there in a way he was going to get 3 seconds in the paint and was going to come up, set a screen, but never set the screen. He just, outside of the paint from the elbow, rolled to the basket, perfect lob, and he scored. I was like, that is some really impressive, first of all, IQ on what to do, a little trickery, great mind. And also the athleticism had to be there. He already had the guy beat. At the very worst, or at the very least, you may draw a foul out of that. I thought that was solid heads up. And a nice wrinkle that I don't know if I've noticed that happen very often in games.
No.
I thought that was cool. Unless I just didn't pay attention to it enough. Thought that was smart. Defensively, he can post up and defend a guy. Very long arms. Just straight up in the air. I'm impressed. And this is a former four-star recruit. He was a former number 30 player in the nation a couple of years ago. And now in the transfer portal, according to On3, he's the 19th best transfer into the portal. So, K-State, I hope you land this guy because I'm a fan. I really am.
T-A-R-R-I-S, Reed, R-E-E-D. Go to X, type that in the search, click top. Scroll down about three posts. There's a highlight video of young master Terrace Reed Jr.
And I hope that's how you say his name. If it's not, I'm sorry.
Yeah. With all due respect to Terrace Reed, the highlight tape, I just almost threw my phone. I saw like a ghost. This kid, the fives that we have, God bless their heart. You couldn't pay them to do some of the stuff that he's doing on the court. This guy looks amazing. And I really hope the connections thing is what brought, like during the Frank Martin run, that's what it was. It was all just the connections that the assistant coaches had to certain guys that brought them here. And that's what I hope we're going to do one more time. Bring people back who just connections through connections. Let's do it.
You brought up the fact that he's got good footwork. One of the things that was notable about that footwork is he could find himself behind an offensive player, not necessarily having to defend from the backside of a player who's trying to post up on him. No, he can try to make a play on a pass coming in and maybe winds up pinned to the backside and yet recover.
Yeah.
How many block shots did we see from behind in that highlight video?
I mean, on and on.
And there were a couple where he was a good step and a half back of the driving player and made plays on the block shot. And, you know, that the footwork is there. He's got some quickness because of that footwork and really, really looked good defensively, especially.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm in. If they can get him, I'm going to be very happy if he does commit. I'm going to be happy with the landing for sure. I mean, and numbers-wise, you know, there'll be some areas he doesn't exactly blow you away. He'll need some coaching on the offensive end. But there's definitely something to work with. And we mentioned the agility, the athleticism. A lot of the highlights are him and one-on-one in space. Oof. What does that tell you? You can five out with this guy.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. He likes it. He likes to turn and face the basket and put a move on somebody. And some of these moves are embarrassing. Oh, so embarrassing.
The move he made on the poor sucker from Wisconsin that was defending him in the heart of the paint.
God.
Just the head fake right, boom. And away he went.
One step gone. It was awesome. This dude definitely pop the boys, if you know what I mean.
All right, we take our final break of the hour. I got to bounce. The other three will take over, and they'll take it at 5:30, and that's when we'll start pregame coverage of K-State baseball hosting the Texas Longhorns with first pitch at 6:05. Hope to see you at Toyton Family Stadium, and go Cats.
Closing in on the top of the hour,
Troy, Dave G.
Here we are.
OB.
There it is. Now we can have some fun.
I had a good laugh earlier today. Speaking of videos, if you on social media do a search for Gritty Cam, there's a reason I bring it up. There's a reason. So the Division II semifinals, men's semifinals, are taking place in Evansville, Indiana this weekend. And they're streaming online for you to be able to watch. So they cut to a commercial break. Minnesota State Mankato, West Texas A&M, the matchup. They come out of the commercial break, and the video board camera feed was what they were punching through on the streaming. It took them all for about maybe 90 seconds to get the Gritty Cam to stop.
Oh, no.
The border of the basketball broadcast was the Gritty Cam.
Oh. And when you're searching for the get the Gritty Cam border off button, you're like, what do I do? What do I do? I'm new. I don't know what to do.
Just panicking.
Oh, God.
How would you like to be that poor tech? And they're screaming in your ear.
What are you doing? Get that off of there!
You had one job, buddy. One job.
No.
Get the Gritty Cam border off of there.
As a guy who somewhat works as a tech, I cannot imagine. Like, Matt in my ear, like, what is the camera?
I'm hoping that it makes a return on the CBS broadcast when they play the finals tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's good.
Hour two coming up. We'll talk a little about the NCAAs in the next half hour. Oh, and there's a name of a pig that, well, apparently has offended some. We'll touch on that, too. I'll admit I haven't taken a look yet to check and see what anybody's numbers look like on the Booth Creek Wagyu Bracket Challenge today. I know this much. I lost one out of my final four last night.
I'm
trying to think if I did. Did I have them in?
Clemson, UConn, Bama, Illinois, your four that won last night. So I dropped Arizona out of the mix.
Clemson, man.
I did lose Arizona, yeah.
Clemson looking tough. And they're good.
I just want to stuff a sock in Brad Brenell's mouth, though, for continuing to. And you know the worst part about it? He has every right to talk smack now about the Big 12.
Right, right. Coming after the Big 12, man.
Tonight's games, Marquette, NC State, Purdue, Gonzaga, Houston, Duke, Tennessee, and Creighton. We'll have coverage following K-State baseball tonight here on News Radio KMAN. Then tomorrow, around baseball again, we'll have coverage. And Sunday, it's those Elite Eight games that we'll have for you that afternoon here on News Radio KMAN. Again, presented by Booth Creek Wagyu. And on Monday, we'll hit the numbers on the morning show and see just where everybody is on K-Man's Morning News and the Bracket Challenge.
Very nice.
So, but Illinois last night beating Iowa State, actually felt that that one wound up a much different game than I thought it was going to be. I expected low scoring, given Iowa State's defense especially, but Illinois was able to push it to a 72-69 score.
Mm-hmm. Push the pace, too. Just really, really controlled the pace, which, just like you, I was so surprised because Iowa State, what they want to do defensively, they do it. Mm-hmm. So, and they dictate the pace of the game. But Brad Underwood finally gets that monkey off his back. Now he's in the Elite Eight.
First time since 2005 that they've been in the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. Alabama upsets North Carolina. I can say that I did not have Carolina coming out of the Elite Eight weekend. I'm good there. And someone pointed out, essentially, Armando Bacot, 6 years, zero championships of any kind.
Wow. Wow.
No conference tournament title. NCAA goes bye-bye as well.
No conference tournament title is crazy.
You think, I mean, 6 year stretch. Really, 6 years at UNC and you don't get a title? I mean, geez.
Not even an eight. ACC title?
Mm.
Come on now.
UConn doing UConn things. This is... I know Houston and Duke tonight's going to be a very interesting matchup.
For sure.
But my championship matchup is UConn-Houston,
mm-hmm.
the way I see it. That's just the way that I predicted it out. UConn is beating everybody by double digits.
Man.
Not even, I mean, they won by 30 last night.
They won by 30 last night in a rematch of last year's championship game.
Yeah.
Which they won by double digits.
And that game in the first half was much closer than a 30-point loss would
sure.
think. I think that at one point, I think San Diego State was only down by like 6. And then, boom, UConn, they look so tough, unbeatable.
Here's the note on that. 9 consecutive NCAA tournament games that UConn has won by double digits.
Jeez.
I'm sure that's got to be the record for most consecutively, you would
think. It's just unbelievable that anybody would put together that string. So, yes, to me right now, they have the most momentum. There is no doubt about that. And the only loss that they have since the calendar turned to 2024 is that road loss at Creighton.
Oh, wow.
They have lost one time in 2024.
It is a record, by the way, that, what did you say, 9 games?
9 straight.
Yeah, the closest would be 81-82 Indiana and 54-55 LaSalle won 6 straight by double digits.
Wow.
So they have well eclipsed that mark now.
Yeah, wow. The famous LaSalle team of 1954. Yeah, yeah.
Just chocked full of NBA talent.
Well, but here again, let's also qualify that. 80-81 Indiana would be in an era where it was 48 teams.
Mm.
LaSalle in the 50s would have been when it literally was you had to win conference championship to be in the field. There were no at-large berths.
Wow.
So they did that spread over a couple of tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yes, now 9 is spread over a couple of tournaments for UConn. It's a much different beast. This tournament, you have to win 6 to win a title.
Man.
So that means that, you know, last year, the latter part of the tournament already,
mm-hmm.
they were racking up double-digit wins.
Killing people. Man. And
they've all been by 13 points or more. So they got 4 points to spare on that double-digit mark as well.
That is unreal.
That's crazy.
That needs to go down as one of the most impressive runs in tournament history. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say what you will about Dan Hurley and some of the antics on the sideline, but in terms of coaching, how it took him so long to get an opportunity at a university like UConn, at a Power 5 or Power 6, is beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, he was tearing it up. Arizona State hired the wrong Hurley, honestly, but that's... You know.
Every team that had an opening is kicking themselves, I can tell you that.
Wait a minute, Dan's the better Hurley?
Whoa! No. Oof.
But honestly, by the way, did you hear Rick Pitino getting uptight over Dan Hurley's dad sitting where he was at the Big East tournament?
I heard Rick Pitino recently, but I don't think it was about that.
Yeah, Rick was a little upset because Daddy Hurley was sitting nearby the bench. He felt that was an advantage for Dan Hurley. Well,
Dan Hurley's dad's what, 85 years old?
But he's you know, legendary
for sure,
as a
for
high school
sure.
coach, and so I know.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Rick. You're better than that.
Like he wouldn't be near the bench if Richard was coaching in a similar situation.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly.
He would be on the bench. Rick Pitino's putting himself on the coaching staff for a couple games.
Right. If he's not in the back room of the Italian restaurant.
Hey-o.
Oh. Anyway.
Got him.
I think that still to me is the most embarrassing thing right now is that he's coaching at a Catholic university. That said, I say that as a practicing. Thank
there
you very
go.
Much. Okay. I can say that about anyway. So don't at me for saying that. I'm pointing that one out just because.
Waiting for the phone line to start blowing up.
Yeah. Well,
blowing up.
Yeah, listen, I can say that because I am of that faith. Thank you, okay? That's why it embarrasses me.
But the Archdiocese on line one.
Oh, man.
Changing subject.
Looks like I'll be asking for special dispensation. Yeah. And headed for confession soon. So, again, tonight's matchups. Marquette, NC State, Purdue, Gonzaga, which I think is an intriguing one, honestly.
Yeah.
Houston and Duke and Tennessee Creighton. Tennessee Creighton's going to be the game of the night. Mark my words, the game of the night.
I think you're 100% right.
Because both are stellar three-point shooting ball clubs. Purdue-Gonzaga is an interesting matchup because Gonzaga has, in the past, been very good on the interior. They're not that good. But does Mark Few have a trick up his sleeve in terms of finding a way to defend against Zach Edey because just of the ability to coach big guys?
Mm-hmm. How did we get here, though, in this tournament with basically, besides, you know, a four, and then, of course, we got Clemson, it's a lot of chalk going
NC on. NC State as an 11.
That's right.
NC State as an 11. But you're right. There is a lot of chalk.
It's wild.
It's the tournament that, let's be honest, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey would like.
He wants it like that. Yeah.
He wants the Power Fives to have the strength. And it's playing out that way now.
It is. Yep.
Which is the disappointment of it. But we have also, I think we have gotten ourselves inured to a mindset about the upsets in the round of 64 and in 32 that, you know, the little guy has had enough little tastes of the Final Four over the last 20 years that, you know, we still hold it in a regard that, yeah, this is the tournament. This can happen. This, you know, yeah. FAU making a run last year is an example.
Crazy.
But in the grand scheme of things, if you look at how the tournament breaks down each year when we get to the round of 16 and the round of 8, it is overwhelmingly the Power 5 schools.
For sure.
It is overwhelmingly the Power 5 schools.
Right.
That has been the norm. We just talk about having those upsets because they stick out in our minds.
They are so special. I mean, it is so special to watch these high seeds go and just keep on keeping on. But you're right. If you look back and you start, you know, chalking it up, it's a lot of Power Five, a lot, even higher seeds, but still Power Five schools at large bids. And, you know, I still love it. I still love it. There's still nothing quite like that opening day for the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely.
Nothing will match it. It's so fun.
Absolutely. And you know, that's why it is so entertaining, is that anything can happen in those first two rounds.
Right.
Less so as you go, especially because unlike the preparation that goes into those first two rounds, you have a week. Not a full week, but you have time.
Right.
To get yourself ready for that second swing. And so there's a little bit of time, and you've kind of calmed yourselves down a little bit. And you've hit a flow where that first weekend is just hectic.
Hectic. And then you go, oh, my God, we're one game away?
Yeah.
It's wild.
So, again, tonight, Marquette, NC State, Purdue, Gonzaga are the first two matchups. Houston and Duke, Tennessee and Creighton, they'll be jumping from coverage to coverage of those two late games following our coverage of K-State baseball tonight here on News Radio KMAN, presented by Booth Creek Wagyu. Oh, by the way, women's tournament action, South Carolina is starting to smoke Indiana. 61-43 with 6 minutes to play in the third. Speaking of double-digit wins.
Yeah. I wanted to say, too, if you haven't checked out the coverage here on KMAN of the NCAA tournament when they do the switching, it has been awesome. Mm-hmm. It really – they are pros at that, and it really – I'm enjoying it big time. Just like when you're hopping in the car doing something, you can still listen in, and they got you in multiple games. It is so cool.
Absolutely. So that coverage comes up again tonight following baseball. Tomorrow following baseball, and on Sunday, wall to wall for you. Back on the game, yeah, we get to talk about a baseball team and maybe a name that, well, is getting them in trouble for an animal. That on the game. So the baseball guy in me is all too familiar with the St. Paul Saints. They're now the AAA franchise for the Twins, but for years they were an independent. The league that the Kansas City Monarchs are in, the American Association, was founded by the ownership of the St. Paul Saints, of which one Bill Murray was part of the ownership, by the way, when they were founded. So they've been around for a while, and quirkiness is the name of their game, because in a lot of ways they were competing against the Twins for fans and trying to get fans to come out and see their games at times because, well, it was something different than going to a Twins game.
Mm-hmm.
So the Saints have decided via a Name the Pig contest to name their longtime live pig mascot. The entries came up with the most voted for as Ozempig.
I love that person.
Why are people mad?
Why are people so bent out of shape about this?
What is the deal? What is the deal?
Calling it hurtful and insensitive.
Come on. Come on. It works. It works.
And so they've come up with a backstory about the pig's embarrassment at gaining weight and trying to help him remain trim, and thus the name was Ozempig.
They've leaned into it at this point.
That's, yes.
You can't give it up now.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. He so much like the old days at, say, Municipal or you know where they had animals that carried the ball out to. Yeah, he carries balls out to the umpire, and over the course of the summer tends to become noticeably larger, so much larger, in fact, that another young pig usually takes over the duties midway through the season.
Wow. Man.
So they felt that, you know, utilizing the nickname was just a natural. Yeah, okay.
It does roll off the tongue. You know?
Listen, credit to their fans for having a sense of humor. I mean, that right there tells you their audience. It you know, makes it very clear who their fans are.
I think there's a documentary on Netflix about the owner. He's the son of a major league owner.
Yes, Vec.
Man.
Mike Vec.
What a fantastic. Check it out on, I think it's on Netflix. It's really good.
Yeah, Mike Vec, his dad, Bill Vec, was so notable in the majors. At one point, owned the White Sox. Previously, he had also owned the Indians.
Mike Vec, also behind the Disco Sox thing.
Yeah, Disco Demolition Night.
Hey. Finish the sentence for me. Never again.
Ozempig.
Never again will I blank.
Oh, boy.
That's a tough one, you know. You don't have to get too serious.
Never again will I drive a Jeep.
That's a good one.
My dad loves them. I love the look. I rented one in high school. Not a fan of the way it drives, especially on the highway, too.
I drove one for a year, went down to Oklahoma City. Never again will I do that. That was terrible.
Never again am I touching vodka.
Ew.
I mean, literally. Yeah. That no.
Evil. Vodka Evil. Troy would be awesome.
Go Cats. Baseball's next.